Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're the podcast that takes that big stack of sources and, well, boils it down for you, giving you that shortcut to being really well informed.
That's the goal.
And today, we're diving into a really fascinating concept. It's centered on the power of spoken words.
Mm-hmm.
Our source material really zooms in on a specific biblical verse. That's Psalm 119, verse 13. It says, "With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth."
Yeah, and what's immediately striking here, I think, is how this ancient idea, you know, about actively proclaiming words, not just thinking them,
right,
how it's presented as this really potent tool for navigating modern life.
Okay.
So this deep dive will explore how articulating certain truths, especially when you're stressed or things feel uncertain, is actually believed to shape your personal experience,
right,
and even collective resilience.
Okay, let's definitely unpack this. So our mission today.
Mm-hmm.
Understand the roots of this idea, explore its contemporary applications,
mm-hmm.
you know, how it's used across the globe, and really get why, according to the source, using your voice might be, well, a much more powerful act than maybe you realize.
Exactly.
So the source jumps right in, highlighting this foundational belief. The sheer power of just speaking
mm-hmm.
starts right at the beginning, biblical creation, Genesis 1:3, where God speaks, "Let there be light," and then light happens.
Right. It's presented not just as communication, but as a fundamental, almost generative force. Like words make things happen.
Exactly. Words as forces.
And connecting this, you know, to the bigger picture, the source really emphasizes this isn't just some isolated thought.
Oh, yeah.
It pulls in Proverbs 18:21. That's from the biblical book of Proverbs, which is full of this kind of practical wisdom. And it says, "The tongue has the power of life and death."
Wow. That's blunt.
It is. It's not subtle, is it? It's a direct declaration about the immense, truly transformative power our spoken words are said to hold. So the core insight here, the source argues, is that when you recount these laws or principles aloud, you're actively aligning your speech with, well, with life, with truth, with victory.
So you're choosing a narrative.
You're choosing a narrative, exactly, and speaking it out loud to counter maybe fear or anxiety.
So it's really not just about what's going on in your head, what you think. It's about what you actually declare with your lips.
That's the emphasis.
And the source actually poses some pretty challenging questions to us, to you listening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you maybe been speaking words of fear, words of doubt over your life without even realizing it?
Mm-hmm. Repeating worries from the news, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of, you know, positive affirmations or statements of faith, it really does make you pause and think about your own speech patterns, doesn't it?
It really does. And that leads to a pretty important question. Why does this ancient idea seem to resonate so much now in our, let's face it, pretty turbulent modern world? Well, the source draws this really compelling parallel. It notes that Psalm 119 itself, where our main verse comes from, was likely written during times of intense pressure, maybe exile, lots of trials, conditions that, you know, aren't entirely unlike some of the global challenges we see today. The point being, these aren't just dusty old texts. They're presented as timeless principles for getting through tough human experiences.
That context helps a lot. And here's where it gets really interesting, how the source links it directly to current events. Makes it feel very now. Mm-hmm. It brings up recent natural disasters, you know, those big storms in the U.S., the awful floods in South America, reminders of how fragile we can be.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then it pivots. It offers John 14:27 as this kind of counter narrative, specifically for times of conflict. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you."
So speaking peace into the chaos.
That seems to be the idea, deliberately vocalizing a different reality.
And it doesn't just stop at the big global stuff. It tackles the everyday struggles, too.
Yeah.
Economic pressures, you know, inflation, anxieties about jobs, rising costs, things many people are feeling right now.
Sure.
And in response to that, the source offers Philippians 4:11. "My God shall supply all your needs."
And supply here means more than just money, I assume.
Exactly. Within this framework, it's understood really broadly, emotional, spiritual, relational support, not just finances. And the argument isn't that saying this makes the problems vanish or that it's denial.
Right.
Instead, declaring these promises aloud during a crisis is framed as an active expression of faith. And according to the source, that act of speaking faith actually shapes your internal perspective.
Okay.
And they argue ultimately influences your external reality somehow. It suggests speaking these words gives you this sense of stability, this inner strength, especially when you feel like your own strength just isn't enough.
And you mentioned it's not just theory. The source has actual case studies.
Oh, yeah. Incredible ones from all over the world.
Yeah.
They really show how this practice, this vocal declaration, plays out in real life in very tangible situations.
Okay. I want to hear these.
What's compelling is just how diverse they are. It really highlights how universal this approach seems to be, popping up in totally different cultures and places.
Okay.
So think about communities in the Caribbean right after Hurricane Helene hit.
Devastating.
Total devastation. No power, immense loss. But the source describes people gathering, not just sitting in the dark, but gathering by candlelight and singing psalms aloud.
Singing them. Wow.
Yeah. Not just quiet prayer, but this communal vocal act. It became the shared source of comfort, of resilience when everything else was just gone. Yeah. A kind of defiant song against the storm.
That's powerful.
Or take rural Kenya, farmers facing terrible drought. They'd gather for morning prayers, and the source says they declared Psalm 23 every day. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
So declaring provision even when facing lack.
Exactly. Not necessarily expecting instant rain, but it was this vocal commitment to trust, to keep going in incredibly tough times. It fostered hope that needs would somehow be met.
Yeah. Any others?
There's a really poignant one from Brazil. A mother really struggling with food insecurity for her kids.
Oh, that's tough.
Deeply tough. But every night she'd gather her children, and instead of focusing on the hunger, she'd speak scriptures about provision aloud, like Matthew 4.4. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.
So feeding them with words of hope, in a way.
Kind of. It became this ritual, instilling faith and maybe a sense of security in her kids, even in those dire circumstances.
Mm. And you mentioned conflicts earlier.
Yes. In Europe, specifically Ukraine, amidst rising political tensions, the source describes believers gathering underground.
Underground.
Yeah. In this incredibly dangerous, uncertain setting. And what were they doing? Recounting these sacred texts aloud together.
Why aloud, do you think, in that situation?
Well, the source suggests it wasn't just for comfort, though I'm sure it was comforting. It was explicitly described as strengthening their courage, reinforcing their unity, fortifying their resolve against intense adversity.
Wow.
And one more, bringing it into the digital age. In Asia, specifically India, you have young believers using platforms like live streams, reading psalms aloud, not just for themselves, but broadcasting it, spreading encouragement, hope, connection across continents. Maybe reaching people feeling really isolated or scared.
So these really aren't just quiet thoughts. Exactly. These are active vocal things people are doing right in the teeth of really serious adversity.
Absolutely.
Which brings us back to that question. Why the emphasis on aloud? What's the specific power in the vocalization itself, according to the source?
Yeah, the source goes into that, and it offers this really fascinating perspective on why speaking aloud is seen as so critical in this spiritual framework.
Okay.
It puts forward the idea that from a spiritual viewpoint, an adversary, often called the enemy in these kinds of texts,
right,
representing opposing spiritual forces,
right,
that this adversary cannot read your mind,
okay,
but it can hear your words.
Ah, so speaking, it makes it manifest in the spiritual realm, so to speak.
Yeah. That seems to be the implication. It suggests an active spiritual dimension to actually vocalizing it. It becomes a tangible act in a kind of spiritual battle, not just an internal mental exercise.
That is a unique angle. Does it offer any backing for that?
It does. It points straight to the example of Jesus himself. Remember the temptations in the wilderness, Matthew 4?
Sure.
When Satan tempts him, Jesus doesn't just think scripture in response. He speaks it aloud. It is written.
Ah, right. He says it.
He says it. Hmm. So the source paints speaking scripture aloud not just as prayer, but as a direct active defense, a kind of verbal weapon against spiritual attack, proclaiming truth when faced with deception.
Okay, that makes sense within that framework.
Precisely. And this also sheds light on why, in times of maybe grief or intense fear or deep pain, recounting these words aloud becomes the sort of multifaceted thing.
Oh, so.
It serves as both a powerful kind of personal therapy, like anchoring yourself in truth when everything feels shaky, and also as a public testimony, a declaration of what you believe, even when things are incredibly hard.
Okay. Does the source give specific examples of verses used this way?
Yes. It highlights a few that are presented almost as active verbal tools for declaration, like
17. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's framed as a declaration of divine protection.
Okay.
Or Romans 8.28. All things work together for good to those who love God. That's presented as declaring hope and ultimate purpose, even when things look bad.
Right, finding meaning.
And Psalm 46.1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble, a declaration of safety, of available support right when you need it.
So these aren't just verses to read quietly. The idea is to voice them.
To voice them, actively shaping your internal state, and in this view, your declared reality.
Okay, so we've looked at the global examples, the kind of why behind speaking aloud. So the big question, what does this mean for you listening right now in your day-to-day life?
Right, the practical application.
Does the source offer ways to actually do this?
It does. It gives a pretty direct challenge, actually, for personal reflection and putting this into practice. It encourages you to start each day by just speaking one powerful statement or scripture aloud over your life. Just one.
One a day seems doable.
And it even extends this to families, suggesting maybe rehearsing some of these words together, perhaps at dinner or bedtime, making it a shared act of focusing on wisdom.
Okay.
The core idea is really about intentionally using your lips, your voice, to spread wisdom or encouragement or truth, rather than maybe unintentionally amplifying gossip or worry.
Yeah.
Whether that's at work or school or even, you know, online.
And you mentioned an exercise.
Yeah, to really embed this and maybe see if it makes a difference for you. The source suggests this. Write down maybe three scriptures or positive affirmations that really speak to you right now.
Okay.
Commit to saying them aloud every day for just 7 days.
A week.
Just a week. And then maybe keep a little journal. See how your perspective shifts or your feelings or even how you interact with people. The point isn't just mindless repetition. It's about mindful, vocalized intention.
I like that. And connecting it back to current events again, how does the source suggest using this for today's headlines?
It offers a really powerful reframing technique. So, for instance, when you hear about natural disasters, instead of just feeling helpless or despairing,
which is easy to do,
very easy, you might consciously speak aloud the truth that God is a refuge, not denying the suffering at all, but affirming there's strength available, maybe for those in shelters, for the rebuilding efforts.
Okay, shifting the focus.
Mm-hmm. For economic instability, instead of just anxiety about lack, you recount promises of provision. Shifting from fear to trust in that ultimate supply.
Right.
Amidst global conflicts, you actively proclaim peace, proclaim unity, asserting a different possibility.
And what about personal struggles, like mental health?
That's a big one. For those times of anxiety or despair, the source urges declaring these words as a kind of healing balm. It specifically mentions Psalm 34:80 about the Lord being near to the brokenhearted.
So, speaking comfort and closeness into the pain.
Exactly. It's about actively reframing that pain, that challenge, through the lens of these vocalized declarations, trying to bring some solace, maybe even a sense of agency.
And you said there were more testimonies of this working for people.
Yes. And these really underscore the personal impact. There's a story of a widow in Trinidad. After losing her husband in terrible floods, she found the strength, the sheer will to keep her family together by declaring Psalm 91 aloud every single day.
Wow. Her anchor.
It became her anchor, absolutely. Yeah. Her source of resolve when everything could have fallen apart. Then there's an account of a young man in Nigeria, struggled with addiction for a long time.
Okay.
He started this practice, daily scripture declarations, and the source reports his addiction was broken. A testament to that potential for internal transformation.
That's amazing.
And one more. A refugee in Europe. Displaced, lost pretty much everything, started reciting Psalms daily, and found that not only did it help him, give him solace,
yeah,
but he actually became this unexpected source of hope and resilience for other refugees around him.
So it had a ripple effect.
It did. These aren't just abstract ideas, you see. They're lived experiences showing that tangible personal power attributed to the spoken word.
Okay, wow. This whole deep dive into Psalm 119.13, it really does challenge how we normally think about communication, doesn't it?
It really does.
It suggests our lips, our voices, they aren't just for chatting or passing on info. They're potentially powerful instruments capable of actively shaping our inner world and maybe even how we respond to what's happening around us.
I think that's the core insight, really, that especially in times like these, you know, seasons marked by storms, conflict, economic stress, just general uncertainty.
Yeah.
There's this powerful intentional call to actively recount, to speak aloud specific words, words of faith, words of courage, words of hope.
It definitely encourages you to think critically about the words you choose to amplify, what you're putting out there vocally.
Both internally and externally, yeah. In your daily life.
So thinking about a call to action for everyone listening today. Why not, you know, take this challenge seriously?
Give it a try.
Give it a try. Pick just one powerful statement or maybe a scripture, something that really resonates with you with what you're facing right now.
Okay.
And commit to declaring it aloud daily, just for this week. Maybe first thing in the morning, maybe before you tackle something difficult.
Mm.
You could even share it maybe with a friend you trust or perhaps online. Become that source of encouragement yourself.
It's not the ripple.
Exactly. And then just take a moment to reflect. How might that simple, intentional act, just vocalizing a truth, how might that start to shift your own perspective or maybe strengthen your resolve? Or even like that refugee, create a little ripple effect of hope in your own circle, maybe even beyond.
It's a fascinating question to ponder, isn't it?
Yeah.
What hidden power might your words truly possess?